Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Before we jump into our scripture lesson this morning, there were just a couple of things that I wanted to acknowledge this morning about Mother's Day, which is a special day. But some things that are specific to Mother's Day in the church that I just wanted to lift up this morning that you may or may not know. The first thing is this: Mother's Day is one of the most well-attended Sundays of the entire year. You know, we kind of spread it out over four services, but it really is. There's Christmas, and then Easter, and then Mother's Day. For some reason, everybody wants to come to church on Mother's Day. Or the truth be told, I think mothers want to come to church on Mother's Day, and everybody else does what mom says. So the other thing about that, though, is I know this for a fact, that everybody is secretly hoping that the service gets done early so they can go to brunch, right? It's okay, I know. And I'm going to do my best to get us out on time this morning. That brings me to the second thing, though, that I want to share with you this morning. I believe this is true. Those of you that preach may agree with this. But Mother's Day is one of the hardest days of the year to preach. And it doesn't have anything to do with brunch. What it has to do with is this: Mother's Day is a really happy day for some of us, and for some of us, Mother's Day is a really hard day. And for most of us, I think it's probably a mixture of the two. I think back on a lot of Mother's Days that were really fun and joyful, but also I'm always reminded of the Mother's Day right after my grandmother passed away. I'm reminded of the Mother's Day, the first Mother's Day, after my wife had her miscarriage. And all of those emotions, I think, we bring with us on a day like today. And before we started, I just wanted to acknowledge those things, just so that maybe you would know maybe where I'm coming from a little bit, and maybe so that you would know that maybe I know a little bit about maybe where you're coming from as well. So with that in mind, could we just pause for just a moment and have a word of prayer together? Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for this day, this special day. Not only because it's Mother's Day, but because this is a day that you have made and that we have to experience together. God, we bring all of our joys and all of our concerns, all of our happiness and all of our hurt, God, and we lay it before you today. God, I thank you for your amazing grace that you meet us exactly where we are, wherever that is this morning. You give us love, you give us mercy, you give us hope. God, I pray for that this morning, that you would just meet each one of us exactly where we are. Speak your words of love to us. God, that you would take us to new heights and new depths in your love. God, that you would open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds and our hands and our feet to receive and to respond to whatever it is that you have for us this morning. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture lesson this morning, it comes from a place. Last week we looked at a couple of scriptures from a collection of letters called the pastoral letters. They're in the New Testament, and it's three books in the New Testament. First Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And these letters are written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was kind of his star pupil. It was his heir apparent, the one that Paul would pass the baton of ministry onto. And in these letters, Paul is basically imparting wisdom from his own life and ministry to this man named Timothy. Last week we talked about the word remember, and I threw out this question: how do you want to be remembered? And so this week, kind of as a continuation of that, we're gonna go back to that same place in the pastoral letters. But this morning, I want to read for you the beginning of Paul's second letter to Timothy. If I had to boil it down to one word, which I love to do, that word would be influence. And so this morning, I want you to hear these words, 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7. And I want you to listen for words or phrases that have to do with influence. So hear this God's word for us this morning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So this letter begins, as many of Paul's letters do, with words of introduction. But after Paul gives his normal introduction, what he does right off the bat is he makes reference to influence. Those who have had influence on his life. Did you hear that? He says, I thank God, the God whom I serve, as my ancestors did. He's referencing the influence that those who came before him have had on his life and his understanding of who God is. After that, he makes reference to influence in Timothy's life. He talks about Timothy's sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Eunice and in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul's acknowledging influence in Timothy's life through his mother and through his grandmother. This is most certainly a passage about influence. And if that's not enough, I found another little fun fact this week in reading about this passage. It says that some scholars believe that the Apostle Paul was not the actual author of this letter. But even those scholars who are skeptical about Paul's authorship of this book, they believe that whoever the actual author was so influenced by Paul's life and ministry that regardless, it's as if Paul himself wrote the letter. Talk about influence. Well, that's what I want to do this morning. Talk about influence. And before I do that, I want to be really clear about one thing from the start. This is a message for mothers and grandmothers, but it's also for fathers and grandfathers. It's for sisters and brothers, sons and daughters, friends and family. And since Jesus completely redefines our understanding of family in Matthew 12 when he says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This is not just a message for our biological families. This is a message for spiritual families. It's about spiritual mothers and grandmothers and spiritual fathers and grandfathers, spiritual sons and daughters. Did you notice in the passage it said, to my dear son, Timothy? This is not a Paul and Timothy, this was not a biological relationship, this was a spiritual relationship. So this is a message for mentors and teachers and counselors and us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is for all of us this morning. What I want to share with you really briefly are some principles of influence from our passage. And to kind of help you, I put a little fill in the blank in your bulletin and under your sermon notes if you want to follow along and fill in the blanks. But my hope this morning is that these principles will make us think a little bit about the people who have influenced our lives and our faith, and also about the influence that we have on the life and faith of others around us. So really quickly this morning, I want to share these four things with you. You ready? First one's this: influence is inevitable. Influence is inevitable. What does that mean? There's a great quote that I found a few years ago by a pastor named Wayne Cordero, and it's this great quote about influence, but I'll be honest with you, every time I hear it, it strikes fear in my heart as a parent and as a pastor. So you'll understand when you hear this quote. Here's what he says. He says, you can teach what you know, but ultimately you are going to reproduce what you are. Think about that. You can teach what you know, but ultimately you are going to reproduce what you are. Ginger talked about it a little bit during the children's message today. It's not just about what you say, but it's about what you do. It's about who you are. Last week at our men's breakfast, some of you may have been there, one of our speakers reminded us of this old Nike commercial with Charles Barkley. Does anybody remember that commercial? Sir Charles was on the basketball court and he turns to the camera and he says, I'm not your kid's role model. I don't get paid to be your kid's role model. That's the parent's job. Anybody remember that commercial? So I love Sir Charles Barkley, but I think that he missed this very important principle of influence, and it's this. We all influence people all the time. We may not be paid for it. We may not be in the public eye, but we are influencing people every day. Influence is inevitable. The question is, how are we influencing others? Not just by what we say, but by what we do, by who we are. It's a terrifying concept, isn't it? Some of you may be sitting there right now thinking, man, I wish we'd just gone straight to brunch. I promise we're going to end in a hopeful place, but I felt like we needed to start there to get to where we need to go. Honestly, this is one of the toughest parts of talking about influence. It's another reason why it's hard to preach on Mother's Day. Sometimes it's just hard for us to think about the people who have influenced us by their words and actions and how our actions influence and words influence those around us. You know, at the very core of it, the issue is this: we are all broken, imperfect people who've been influenced by broken, imperfect people who influence broken, imperfect people. But thanks be to God that there's grace for us and there's grace from us. That's the good news. But you know, sometimes we don't make it any better when you come to church. Sometimes you come to church and you hear quotes like this one I'm about to read from the late Billy Graham. He said this: only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. Now, this is a great quote. Don't mishear me. And Reverend Billy Graham was one of the most influential leaders of our time. And there's never been a more true quote than the one I just read. But I say that because there are probably some of you that have heard that quote this morning and you're sitting there thinking, I bet Billy Graham had a great mom. And if I'm honest, my kids are more like Billy the Kid than Billy Graham. So what am I doing wrong? Well, here's something that maybe will make you feel better this morning. This is the second principle of influence that I want to talk about today. Number two, influence is so often intangible. One of the hardest and most hopeful parts of influence is that, especially in the life of faith, influence is really difficult to see, and it's really difficult to measure. The truth is, it may be months or years or even decades before those seeds of faith that are planted begin to bear fruit in the lives of those that we influence. You already know this so many times. It's two steps forward and two steps back. This morning, as I mentioned in the sanctuary, it's Youth Sunday, and our seniors always get up and speak on Youth Sunday, and it always makes me think about the journey of faith that they've been on from sixth grade to 12th grade, and sometimes we don't get to see the fruit of that faith until then, and sometimes it's much later. There may be seasons of doubt and struggle. There may be strings of sleepless nights where you wonder, did I do it right? Or did anything I do or say, did it get through? This past week was Teacher Appreciation Week. I think Tuesday was Teacher Appreciation Day. And as I was thinking about it, you know, teachers probably know better than most how intangible influence can be. That things like spiritual growth and character development are really difficult to measure, at least in any kind of standardized way. Another little fun fact about this passage, one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to Timothy is because he was experiencing some struggles and some doubts. He was starting to waver in his faith. And so Paul was reminding Timothy of the people who had invested in his life, who had invested their life and their faith in him so that he could be encouraged in his walk. Influence is inevitable. Influence is often intangible. But here's where we get to some good news this morning. Number three, influence can also be intentional. And it's at this point in the sermon that I've decided to take just a moment of personal privilege and give thanks to my mom, Libby Carey. She's here this morning. I'm not going to embarrass her by making her do anything, but I just want to give thanks to God for her today in front of you. My parents taught me a lot of things growing up. Often it was more what they did than what they said, but one thing that my mom said to me over and over again, and she backed it up with her actions, there was this simple phrase that she said that I'll never forget. Smile, be happy, I love you. She said it to me all the time. Every day when she dropped me off to school, way after I thought it was cool, smile, be happy, I love you. And you know, I'm sure in my teenage years that I probably, you know, brushed that off as no big deal. She would write me notes that said, smile, be happy, I love you. When I went away to school, she would send me letters and I would get emails, and at the bottom of them, it would say, smile, be happy, I love you. She still says it to me today, and I say it back to her, smile, be happy, I love you. It's just such a simple phrase, but honestly, throughout the years, it came to mean something a lot more than just smile, be happy, I love you. It came to represent this relationship that shared a lot of smiles, but also a lot of tears. It came to represent this relationship that had a lot of happy times, but also a lot of hard times. It came to represent this relationship that shaped me like no other relationship has shaped me. A relationship that it came to represent this relationship that we had, but it also came to shape all my other relationships too. And so I give thanks to God for that. This brings me to the last thing about influence that I want to share with you this morning. I hope it brings this whole conversation together this morning. Number one, just to recap, number one, influence is inevitable. Number two, influence can also be intentional. But just the fact that I'm able to share this story with you today represents this last thing, that while influence is often intangible, number four, influence doesn't have to be invisible. one of the ways that I show my mom the influence that she had on me is by sharing that with others, by living my life in response to that influence and sharing it with those that I now have influence on. I want to share a quote with you. I think it's worth remembering. Faithful followers are the fruit of faithful influence. Here's what I mean by that. At our house, we have two kids. Lily Brooks is 7, William's 3. And every day when Lily Brooks goes to school, we send a lunch with her. And a lot of days we'll send a napkin and we'll write a little note of encouragement or something on that napkin. And when it's my turn to write on the napkin, guess what I write? Smile, be happy, I love you. It's just a way for me to honor my mom by doing for others what she did for me as I seek to love other people the way that she loved me. Does that phrase sound familiar to you at all? Love others the way that I have loved you. John chapter 13. After Jesus has given his disciples this powerful example of what service and sacrifice and unconditional love looks like by washing their dirty feet and telling them to go and do likewise. Right before Jesus says to his disciples what he would back up with his actions, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for my friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command." Right before Jesus would demonstrate his love for us by going to the cross, giving his life for them and for you and for me, Jesus said to his disciples, "Love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Everyone will know the influence that I've had on your life if you go now and influence others by loving them the way that I loved you. This simple phrase, I love it because it embodies not only God's love for us, but it embodies God's love through us. For as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to embody the love of Christ. And so I believe there's no more tangible way for us to demonstrate Christ's influence on us than by influencing others by loving them the way that Christ loved us through our service and through our sacrifice. And the best thing about it is there's no one way to do this. It can happen in big, bold, Charles Barkley-sized ways, or it can happen in small, simple, Libby Carey-sized ways. Charles Barkley, 6'6", 250 pounds. My mom is right at 5 feet and one petite lady. So my question I want to leave you with this morning is this. What does that look like for you? It could look like sharing a meal with someone or taking a meal to someone. Influence might look like showing up like our folks at Second Saturday did last weekend to build someone a wheelchair ramp. Or it might be showing up with someone that you haven't talked to in a while and building a bridge that's been broken. Influence might look like stopping before you leave this place and having a conversation with someone, or after you leave today, picking up the phone and having a phone conversation with someone. Influence might look like simply writing a note on a napkin or on a card that says something as simple as, "Smile, be happy, I love you." So what I want us to do this morning, what I want to invite you to do, as we sing this next song, I want to invite you to come forward and pray at these altars. Sometimes I say you can pray at your seats or you can come forward. I'd love for everyone to come forward this morning And if you come to the altars to pray, I would love for you to just stop and say a prayer of thanksgiving for someone this morning that you're thankful for. It could be a mother or a grandmother or a spiritual mother or grandmother or father or brother or sister or son or daughter. Say a prayer of thanksgiving. And then while you're there, pick up a card. There are pens that are on the sides here at the table if you'd like to do that, or you're welcome to take it back to your seat. Would you take just a moment to write a note to someone that's influenced you in your life, or someone that you're influencing? Would you take just a moment to share words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of appreciation with someone this morning in a very real and tangible way? I promise you, whether they're a mother or not, this would be one of the most memorable Mother's Day gifts that someone might get. You may never know the kind of influence your note might mean to them. So would you come and do that this morning? Let's pray together, and then I invite you to stand, and we're going to sing. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for allowing us to be together in this place of worship, to give thanks to you for your love for us and for the love that we receive from one another and the love that you call us to share with one another. God, I pray this morning that you would just help us to have a heart of thanksgiving for those that have invested in us and for those that we've been given the privilege of investing in. Lord, even though it's in a broken and imperfect way, I pray that you would help us to love one another the way that you love us. We would serve one another. That we would give of ourselves to one another so that all might know the great love that you have for us all. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.